All right, let's get to this guest we've got here.
Yeah, we've got
so patiently waiting.
We've got Ken Burke here and
Chris Burke.
Chris Burke.
Well, we're close.
Once again, we've landed with the wheels up, and somebody gave us binoculars. So who'd have thunk that? Chris,
wow, you look scary.
Chris, your claim to fame is what?
Well, I wouldn't really call it fame. I was lucky enough through my father. We flew the Concorde in here in 1994, but I was at the age of 10 years old, and that was basically the highlight of my youth. I mean, I've been to Disneyland. This topped it. It was an incredible experience.
What was it like when they pushed the throttles up on that airplane on the takeoff roll?
At 10 years old, and now with me about a month away from turning 26, it is better than I've been on many roller coasters in my lifetime, and it. Once they hit those afterburners, you're going. I mean, you look out your window and you don't feel like you're going that quick. But I mean, you're pinned up against your seat, I suppose, so you can. But I mean, you look outside your window and you're moving. It was great then, and even now, it was just an awesome experience.
It was one of those things that if you had the opportunity, would you do it again?
If the plane were still flying, I would have done it again in a heartbeat. If the plane would have been here in 2000, unfortunately, it wasn't because of that crash of the Air France jet. I would have forked over part of my college education to do that. I know my parents probably don't want to hear that.
No,
but
they don't hear that.
I would have done that in a heartbeat. And even right after that crash, I would have. I mean, aside from that one thing, I would have done it again in a heartbeat. I mean, that plane, 114 people died. I mean, I don't want to take away from that, but it still had an impeccable safety record for only 13 aircraft.
It did. It was an extraordinary airplane, and of course, the maintenance on that thing was top notch. It had to be. At Mach 2, it's got to be perfect.
Well, we here at EAA Radio would like to start the rumor that the crews are threatening to hotwire one and take it for one last flight. You in on it?
I'd be in on it. I mean, I don't think I have that type certificate. I mean, I'm not a trained pilot, but I mean,
You're a trained passenger.
I'm a trained passenger. I'd be able to sit front row and center. I'd do it again.
And I'll tell you what, I can sit in the back of the airplane with my arms in the air going, whee! Just like everybody else.
Well, the cool thing about the flight, too, is when we weren't able to go supersonic. I mean, when you came in over Toronto, there's the Great Lakes, but those aren't big enough for them to push the throttles past Mach 1. But we did get up to about Mach 0.95, and once we were over, I believe it was Lake Superior, you look out the window, you can't even tell you're going that quick.
That's it. Do you have any sensation of speed at all?
No, you don't. And I mean, I've talked to a couple other people this week that flew from London to here, so they were actually on a plane when they went to Mach 2, and you have no idea you're going that quick. I mean, you're that much higher, that much quicker than everyone else. I just don't think you have anything to compare the speed to.
I guess wind noise is wind noise, no matter how fast you're going.
Yeah, it's that happens with any aircraft.
Absolutely. Well, how was the ride? I mean, was it a smooth, comfortable ride?
Incredibly smooth. We got back in here. I mean, it was 8 o'clock. I mean, it wasn't sunny. It was it was overcast. It wasn't foggy or anything. But it was just an incredibly smooth ride. I mean, I haven't been on a bunch of commercial flights, but compared to flying from Honolulu into San Francisco, this was smooth. I mean, I flew in there into high school and San Francisco, and that was the worst turbulence I think I'll ever experience. And the Concorde coming in here, and with the weather we get up here, it was the smoothest ride I've ever probably will ever have.
Well, you know, the one thing that I've noticed about watching films and videos of the Concorde landing is the fact that they hold that thing way nose high when they land it. They don't have slats or flaps or any of that stuff. It's strictly the shape of the wing and the angle of attack. Is that a weird sensation, looking out the window and realizing the world is very catawampus as you're looking at it?
It was. I mean, the only time it really felt like a normal airline approach is once we were only a few feet above the runway, because then they're bringing the nose gear down and we're on the ground. But until that, you're leaning up. You can tell you're sitting in like that. I mean, you can see when you watch it land, it looked like a bird of prey, you know, coming and stalking it, you know, stalking something. It did feel kind of weird. I mean, we were in the first or second row in the front, so we were near the top of the wing. We weren't as high as the people in the cockpit, obviously, but we were at the top of that angle. I mean, I can imagine how the people in the bottom felt. They probably almost felt they were almost straight on
the back.
People
in the cheap seats felt like they're going to fall out.
Well, there's no such thing as a cheap seat on the Concorde.
Well, that's true.
Yeah, what did that cost you?
You're still paying him back, aren't you?
My dad picked up the tab on it. This was 15 years ago. I kind of figured it out through research, you know, with the internet and everything, but I still don't know.
Had to be high 4 digits.
I know from Toronto to here, or from Toronto to New York, rather, it was about $2,500, I believe.
Okay.
And I think that went up, actually, once the airplane started flying again. Costs went up after September 11th, but it was, I know it wasn't cheap. I'm pretty sure it was over 1,000. The local flight here was 750. Yep. It had to have been over 1,000.
A 45-minute round trip flight to nowhere. Well, I remember that was like 750, and they had no trouble filling it.
Oh, yeah.
No, they didn't.
Another perspective is I was here in 1989. It was my first Oshkosh, and we got to watch the Concorde take off. And to just think, I was like, I've never been to an air show where I got that close to that type of aircraft on a takeoff run. I was like, wow.
Well, I just didn't. I was born here. I grew up here in Oshkosh. Still live here today. And just the fact that something like that, I mean, back in 1985, I wasn't even 2 years old. I didn't understand, you know, just the significance of it. But now that I'm older, it just how that lifted this event up and in turn lifted my hometown up to a whole nother level. Mm-hmm. Just, I mean, now as a grown up, I'm thankful for that. I mean, now that I'm,
Well, you need to hang around because the Concorde crew will be coming in, I think, tomorrow. Or might be Saturday. I think that's Aerochel Square guys again.
Yeah.
So come on in and shake their hands.
Oh, I will. And they're also going to be at Theater in the Woods tonight
with a
presentation at 9 o'clock.
So you're going to be all over that.
Right. I work out at Theater in the Woods as a cameraman. So.
Okay.
And then my dad's leading the presentation out there.
Oh, nice.
He's the MC.
Never
so
mind.
It'll be
you got all the ends you need.
You're connected.
It'll be a family affair out there. I'm looking forward to it.
Very good. Well, thank you for joining us, Chris.
My pleasure.
This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And you're listening to EAA Radio.